the left proves the weakness of the human conscience to determine what is right or wrong. You're not voting for liberals anymore. You're voting for leftists. No country survives with an open border. Your house would not survive if you opened the door. They're not interested in America surviving.
All right, folks, hope your week is going well. A great show headed your way right now. You know how much I talk about language. It's important. Newcomers, illegals, words matter. How they use them and how the left is talking about things to get people, whether it's your pronouns or gender-affirming care, the words matter. The left dominates the dictionary right now. And there's tools that we can be using to help fight this. Dennis Prager and PragerU is at the forefront of giving us the tools, the language, the strategy we need to win. I want to get into it with Dennis Prager, who is the host of the Dennis Prager Show, the founder of PragerU. But more importantly, I want to start with two of the amazing sponsors that help us bring the show live to you every night. And then we'll get into the chat with Dennis. If you're a longtime watcher of the show, you know about my friend Leo Grillo. Leo is the founder of Delta Rescue, and you can see a lot of the work they do at deltarescue.org. Leo started his journey by rescuing a Doberman. He named the Doberman Delta, which stands for dedication and everlasting love to animals. That became part of a lifelong mission. He founded Delta Rescue. It's a lifelong no-kill sanctuary, not a shelter, a no-kill sanctuary where dogs, cats, horses can roam freely and get the nutrition and veterinary care that they need. It's all supported by people like you and me through our contributions, $5, $10, $100, $1,000. Whatever you can do, if you're an animal lover, helps keep Delta Rescue going. And if you go to deltarescue.org, you can see some of the amazing videos of the work that they do. But also at deltarescue.org is the estate planning kit. If you can help make Delta Rescue part of your estate, that'll make Leo's mission an enduring one, one that continues well beyond all of us and the here and the now. So if you're an animal lover, please go to deltarescue.org, help in the short term with a contribution, but then also make it part of your estate planning kit. When things go south and there's a crisis, whether it's for a day, a week, a month, maybe even months, will you be ready? I am. Because I got the Patriot Power Generator 2000X. And if you go to 4patriots.com/Spicer, you can join me in getting one of these. The best part about the Patriot Power Generator 2000X is that when something happens, you lose power for whatever reason. Maybe it's an attack on the grid. Maybe it's a natural disaster, whatever. You will be ready. You can plug in your refrigerator, your tablets, your medical devices, your computer, your phones, so that you, your family, and your loved ones are taken care of during a crisis. Think about how important that is. Here's what makes the Patriot Power Generator 2000X different. It runs off solar power, and the panels come free with it. You put it out, it charges the generator. Then when you bring the Patriot Power Generator into your house, there's no fumes, there's no noise. You plug into one of the several ports that exist, and you can bring it back outside. No gas, no smells, no fumes, no additional things to do. This is securing your future for you, your family, your friends. Go to 4patriots.com/Spicer and join me by getting a Patriot Power Generator 2000X to be ready when emergencies occur. Dennis Prager, I'm so excited to see you. So much to talk to. Obviously, the audience is going to want to know what your take is on Princess Kate and these manipulated photos. This is clearly your wheelhouse. Is it fake? Is she alive? What's the Prager take on Princess Kate?
You're choking me up.
this is tough.
No, that's fine. Look, all is grist for the mill with me. I actually have more questions than anything else. So
me too.
So let me give the bigger and then I'll narrow it in.
Oh boy.
I actually don't want the monarchy to fail in Britain. I make a very powerful case in my Rational Bible series. I have a commentary on four of the first five books in the fifth one I'm working on, Leviticus, and I have a very powerful essay on the need for ritual for a religion or a society to survive. One of the reasons we are in real jeopardy in the United States is the death of ritual. July 4th is just hot dogs and beer, or a backyard party. Memorial Day is nothing. It's just the day to take off. President's Day is a joke because nobody is honoring any president. Whereas when I was a kid, you had Washington's birthday and Lincoln's birthday. We're ritually dead. People used to decorate their homes on Christmas. You can go a mile in L.A. and see far more Halloween decorations than Christmas decorations. And this is a Jew saying this. The death of ritual is the death of a religion or of a society. And so I want the monarchy to survive in Britain for the sake of Britain. So having said that, things that obviously reflect poorly or jeopardize the reputation, they discomfort me. I don't understand if she was ill, why they just don't announce that. That's the puzzle.
I agree. There is a lot to this thing. But let's get back to the U.S. because I did not think we would go there. But I agree with you. I it's a pet peeve of mine that a lot of these holidays and rituals and traditions have become excuses for mattress sales. Not that I don't love a good mattress sale, but I agree with you. But I do want to get to this. You have been at the forefront of language, and I want to talk to you in a little bit about PragerU and how you combat that. But I want to start with this bloodbath that we're facing. And so for the folks in the audience, the four people who probably don't see this, let me put it on the screen and just play for you, everyone, the context of what former President Trump said in Ohio this weekend when he was talking about China and the audio industry. Let's take a look.
Something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us. Now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole. That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it.
Okay, so Dennis, here's the thing. I will never in my life try to proclaim myself a master of the English language, grammar. I'm a horrible speller. But the predicate in that sentence is all about President Xi in China. And then he says, if elected, right? And then if I don't, you'll have a bloodbath. It's pretty clear. There are outrages that might make sense. The media went nuts on this. And I don't know if they were just bored or they were drunk because they're all at the gridiron dinner, but this thing I think got blown way out of proportion.
Well, did Charlottesville not get blown out of proportion? He never said they were fine Nazis. For the father of a Jewish daughter, Jewish son-in-law, and Jewish grandchildren to think they're fine Nazis, I mean, even the people who hate him don't think he's that sick. So I can explain it. It's very simple. And that is that truth is not a left-wing value. It's a liberal value and it's a conservative value, but it's not a left-wing value. 51 heads of intelligence agencies said that the Hunter Biden laptop was probably Russian disinformation. Because truth was not a value for them. Winning the election for the Democrats was a value. That's the reason they did this. Everybody who watches that knows he's not talking about massacres. And by the way, there's another proof. Look up in the internet. Any one of your viewers or listeners right now should look up on any dictionary on the internet, bloodbath. The first definition is a massacre, and the second is it was a bloodbath yesterday at the soccer game because one team blew out the other one. It was like, remember, what was it the former governor of Alaska, what was her name?
Palin.
Yeah, so Sarah Palin said, we have targets on, they're targets for us, these congressional districts. So they said, she wants to kill them. They do this all the time because truth is not a left-wing value. They sleep well at night. Do you know that the left proves to me, because my deepest passion is moral theology and philosophy, moral philosophy. The left proves the weakness of the human conscience to determine what is right or wrong.
So on the thing that I found fascinating, and it didn't take long for a bunch of people on the internet to put this together. This is, you know, to your point about the definition, this is them using the word bloodbath over and over again. Let's just take a look at this clip. Because again, it's just, it shows you how ridiculous this outrage is. Take a listen.
Some reports tonight on the quote, bloodbath at the RNC.
Headlines calling it a quote, bloodbath.
Be a bloodbath. Not only is it going to be a bloodbath, but after they leave New Hampshire, it's a bloodbath on her home turf. That's really tough.
Trump has left a lot of corpses in his wake. I mean, we can count the bodies as part of the quote, MAGA drive to take over Maricopa County. And the headline refers to it as an impending bloodbath.
Columnist Charles Blow has a new piece for the New York Times entitled A Biden Bloodbath.
2018 midterms, you can bet that they 100% are fearing a slaughter. In fact, the word bloodbath and massacre come up frequently.
The Republican Party will be destroyed. It's going to be a bloodbath.
There's going to be a bloodbath one way or the other.
Bloodbath for Bernie Sanders.
It's been a bloodbath. They're shaping up to be a bloodbath.
Head off a bloodbath in next year's crucial midterm.
But the point here is they talk about the word bloodbath, then they talk about corpse, then they talk about bodies. They don't, it's like, if you want to equate what Donald Trump said to an economic bloodbath with respect to China, they're using the word corpse, bodies, bloody. I mean, I to your massacre. Point, like, truth isn't even in the equation anymore.
That's right. What am I going to say? That whoever came up with that should get a Pulitzer Prize.
But do you think, I mean, the thing that's funny is there's all these things that happen on the internet sometimes where people will play a meme and it's like watching the same reporters use the same word. We talked about it the other day when Biden gave a State of the Union and it was fiery. You must use the word fiery. He was on, you know, and everyone used the same description. In this case, though, the thing that's interesting to me is you saw Jake Tapper, Don Lemon, the folks at Politico, Rachel Maddow. They all said the same thing that they're now critical of Trump is, and no one calls him out. I don't think I'm that surprised or shocked by it, but it's just what I think is fascinating to me is how they get away with it.
Tell me what they don't get away with.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's
if you get away with men menstruate, then you'll get away with anything.
Oh, I didn't think we were going there. That's, but it's amazing. It's like Corinne Jean-Pierre.
Oh, by the way, with all respect, we have to go there. That is the proof for the final liberal holdout whom I try to convince you're voting for bad people when you vote for the left. You're not voting for liberals anymore. You're voting for leftists. And do you believe men menstruate? Do you think that tampons should be distributed in boys' rooms in high schools? I'm just curious. Do you believe that? And they go, oh, well, that's crazy. That's crazy. But they don't realize how normative that is, how much you are considered a hater if you deny that men can become women or women can become men, or that incredibly men cannot race against women in women's sports.
So I want to move on for a second, because one of the other things that I wanted to get your take on that I saw this Sunday, first of all, I said this yesterday on the show, but like the outrage on Sunday shows is now become an attempt to see who can be more anti-Trump. And so I have a huge problem with the hosts, but I'll leave that aside for now. What really kind of rose to the top for me yesterday or Sunday was when Nancy Pelosi was talking about Benjamin Netanyahu. She appeared on CNN's State of the Union with Dana Bash and came on right after President Netanyahu came on. This is how Nancy Pelosi described Netanyahu. Let's take a look at that description real quick.
It's curious to me to see Netanyahu talk the way he does when he tried to interfere in American elections. But that's another subject. When he came to the Congress, criticized the president of the United States, barged into our country, into our...
So Netanyahu was invited to give a joint address, barged into our country. But now the left is referring to people who illegally enter through non-ports of entry as newcomers. Israel's supposed to be a friend. Chuck Schumer goes after them. They're the one democracy in the Middle East. And this is how we're treating our friends. And yet, if you want to come in through the southern border, I feel like Netanyahu the next time should say, I'm going to fly down to Mexico and come in through one of those cut areas of gate, and then I'll be welcome. Is that what it takes? But how insulting is that, that's how we're referring to our greatest ally in the Middle East?
Well, I really do wonder, and some historian or amateur historian should look this up, has someone in the powerful position of Senate Majority Leader ever told a fellow democracy that they should get rid of their leader?
During a time of war.
Even during a time of peace. I'm very curious. I don't recall it, but that I'm not a living thesaurus or encyclopedia. I am curious. Has it ever happened? The preoccupation of the left with Netanyahu is just like it is with Trump. They live in a make believe world, especially with both, but with Netanyahu, they think that if the opposition, the liberal opposition to the conservative Netanyahu won the election, things would change. I read Hebrew like I read English, but you don't have to know any Hebrew to know this. All of Israel agrees with the war in Gaza. The head of the opposition said, if I am prime minister, I will do the exact same thing and make war on Hamas until they're destroyed. There is no prominent Israeli who says otherwise. So they live in this fairy tale world. It's Netanyahu. No, it's Israelis not wanting to be destroyed. They have a very odd wish, the Israelis, not to have another Holocaust in their lifetime.
I thought Netanyahu's response was fantastic. He said, can you imagine after 9/11, Israel or some other friend of the United States coming to the United States and saying, you know, Bush has got to go. You guys should hold an election and get rid of your leader. And I thought, how well said, because we're sitting here telling these guys that are getting shelled, that have hostages, who, by the way, where is their concern for the U.S. hostages? Never mind the Israeli women and children, which is bad enough. But like, you would think that our president and our majority leader, who's Jewish on the Democratic side in the Senate, would be speaking up more about the concern for U.S. citizens that are being held than he is about having some kind of snap election in Israel during a time of war.
You would think, wouldn't you? You know how many you would thinks? How about this? You would think that there would be some concern on the part of those who are very preoccupied with Palestinians, on the that they would have some concern with the tens of thousands of black Christians slaughtered by Muslims in West Africa. There isn't a word said. There isn't one demonstration on one campus. They don't even know what I just told you, because they read the New York Times and they watch CNN and they listen to their own podcasts. They don't know about the slaughter of black Christians by Muslims in West Africa. And they don't give a damn. The truth is, they don't give a damn about Palestinians. They hate Israel. That is all that matters.
So I want to stay on the topic of religion for a second, but bring it back home for a second. I think it was 2018. I was doing a book tour and I had the honor, frankly, of teaming up with Salem Media a couple stops, and at least one of them, if not two, had you and a couple of the other Salem hosts at it. And you gave one of the best, not even one of, it's the best explanation for people who don't feel comfortable voting for Trump on religious reasons. And it was something to the effect of, God uses imperfect people to carry out his will. And I wish I'd written it down. I think the problem is when you're in the middle of a book tour, sometimes it's your head's moving in a million things. But as this election comes forward again, this is the number one thing I hear about the most with people who say, there's no way I could ever vote for Biden, but I'm uncomfortable with Trump because I'm a man of faith, I'm a woman of faith, and I just don't think that the way he talks or treats people is in keeping with my faith. How does Dennis Prager counter that?
These are the moments when I pinch myself and think, does religion really make people wiser, or do they stay as foolish when they get religious as when they were secular? On what religious basis do they have? What biblical What common sense basis, what moral basis do they have of judging who should be a leader based on their private behavior? I just want to know one argument from the religion, from the Bible, or from common sense. Obviously, God chose King David, right? King David was the predecessor of the Messiah, if you will. And not only did he commit adultery, five times worse, he had the husband of the woman he slept with sent out to die in war. And God used him. Who did God choose to let the Israel into Canaan? Who hid the Israelite spies? God could have chosen a Canaanite accountant, a Canaanite poet. He chose a Canaanite prostitute. There's got to be a lesson there.
Yeah. So when somebody says, you know, the Bible teaches us to be good to our neighbor, to talk, I mean, all of these righteous attributes that we're supposed to embody, and says, you know, how we treat our neighbor, how we treat our enemy, frankly, turn the other cheek. Trump always says, you know, hey, I punch back, I'm a fighter. And yet, if you're a person of faith, you would say, gosh, I just wish he would turn the other cheek. I wish he wouldn't engage.
Yeah, but the problem is that a leader is not just speaking for himself. Or as you might have heard me, because I know I use this example constantly, would you choose, if you had cancer, would you choose your oncological surgeon based on whether or not they were faithful to their wife or their husband? Or would you choose the best surgeon? When you choose leaders, you're not choosing saints. You're not choosing pastors, rabbis, or priests. You're choosing the leader. If I'm in a war, and America is in a war, it's a civil war. If you choose a leader, you care if the general, or choosing a general specifically, does anybody ask what kind of guy is the general, or does he win battles?
Yeah, well, frankly, that's how, in a much less articulate way, I've made the case that this isn't what you're hiring. You're hiring somebody to get the job done. Was our domestic affairs better under Trump? The economy, the border, energy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Foreign policy-wise, Russia wasn't invading anyone. Hamas wasn't firing rockets. China wasn't as provocative. The list goes on there. Right. If you want to compare apples to apples, would you rather have a president that maybe doesn't tweet but wanders around aimlessly, or a president who says things on social media but moves the country in the right direction? And it's a question for me more of results and policies than what they might say or how they might tweet or act.
Oh, it's not more of, it's only of. My wife just had surgery. We did not inquire as to the moral personal life of the surgeons. Literally last week today, she had surgery. We only cared about the surgeon's reputation as a surgeon.
Isn't that funny though, how that, like, I'm with you. When I walk in, I'm more of like, I don't like blood and gore. I actually get, when they start to tell me about the procedure, sometimes I get a little queasy. So I'll ask them, how many have you done? How successful have they been? Where did you go to school? I'm with you. Whether it's my plumber or my physician, I want to know what's your track record, what's your skill set, and do it. And yet when it comes to political leaders, we want to go, let me tell you, talk to me about your personal life. How do you
do? No, but even that isn't true. They don't care about Biden's personal life. There is no doubt in my mind, at least on the basis of everything we know, that Trump is 10 times more moral in his personal, ethical, economic life than Biden. Biden used the government to enrich himself and his family. Trump never did. Trump made every penny in the private sphere legally.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because when you actually look at his finances, he lost money going into government. He's probably the only person.
That's correct. That is exactly right.
Yeah.
Because he actually loves the country. I don't believe Biden loves the country. I believe Biden loves Biden.
So the thing is, this leads me to PragerU. And the thing that I've always loved about the videos is, not all of them, there's some good interviews and some good long-form discussions, but a lot of these 5-minute videos that you put up, take in many cases, what I think is a complicated issue, or at least one that's being debated in society, that you will be told is very complex, and breaks it down into a very succinct way of understanding the issue. And more importantly, and this is what I like, is that it takes an issue where the left tries to tie you in knots and gives you a very straightforward argument, kind of the way that you just did a moment ago with how do you combat somebody who wants to pretend that everything should be religious, and says, okay, like the one on gender affirming care I watched recently, and it talks about this is what that means. And you say to yourself, well, then I don't want anything to do with it. And yet the way the left describes it makes you think this is such a noble and caring thing to do for an individual.
Well, there's no way for you or anyone watching our videos to know how much work goes into each 5-minute video, of which there are about 600 up. That's why we have billions of views, I'm proud to say. But the amount of work, in both in terms of the illustrations and in terms of the script goes through 4 writings, all with one intention: clarity. And that's our trademark. So I'm glad you feel that way. I will just say this: Bill Bennett, the famous Secretary of Education and drug czar, was at my home many years ago, and this is before we had maybe 200 videos up, not 600. And his son looks at me. His son was with him. And he said, you know, I went to Princeton and I learned more from PragerU than in Princeton.
If you're like me and you're looking to secure your financial future, I have the people for you to call. Call my friends at Bishop Gold Group at 844-984-1616 or go to bishopgoldgroup.com/Sean, and they will sit down with you, whether it's online or over the phone, and have a conversation with you about whether it's a 401k, an IRA that you might have sitting around, or just diversifying your investment strategies into precious metals, gold, silver alike. There's a lot of buzz about these kind of groups, and I'm sure you're getting hit up by many of them. Bishop Gold Group are the people that I trust. I took my money, called them, had a conversation about how to diversify my investment strategy with precious metals. We came up with a strategy that made sense for me, and that's why I think if you want to do the same thing, you can call them. You can trust them. They know what they're talking about. They're full of integrity. And if you go to bishopgoldgroup.com/Sean, you can join me in diversifying your investment strategy with precious metals. Like I said, in these uncertain economic times, this is a great place to diversify your investment strategy. So join me, go to bishopgoldgroup.com/Sean, and you begin your journey with financial metals with a free promotional gift as well. I like to think of myself as fairly well-read. I think there's a difference. I think what I love about them, as I said, is it's informational, but I like the strategic, the approach. I watch the video and I go, okay, I can argue better.
That's right.
And be more successful because of how this was laid out. So I think there's two things. One is, yes, you learn. But in this day and age, I think more than anything, we need to not just learn, but we need to be able to fight back. And that's like to be able to take the topics and say, okay, how do I win when I'm discussing why this is an insane discussion? There's one on Taiwan. I mean, you guys literally cover the gamut from foreign policy to domestic policy. But the left, I think, has always argued much better because they argue from the heart versus the head.
That's right. It's emotionally based. I mean, this very notion of what is the way they persuade parents to believe that their daughter, their 10-year-old daughter, is a boy. They say, well, you know, if you don't go along with our gender-affirming care, namely hormone blockers at that age, for example, let us ask you a question. Do you want a dead daughter or a living boy? It's an utterly manipulative, dishonest, vile question. But what parent is going to say, I prefer a dead daughter. I want a living boy. Let her become a boy. At least she'll be alive then. So look, the entire world of the left is emotional. That's why truth is not a value, because you just use the emotion. Israel is committing genocide. That is the greatest blood libel against the Jews since the Middle Ages, when they said and killed Jews over the belief that they would take Christian children and butcher them for their blood for baking matzahs on Passover. I mean, this is not the first blood libel against the Jews.
So what is the answer for those of us on the right? Is it just watch PragerU videos and kind of take notes? Or, I mean, like, and I'm being serious, because I feel like to go back to some of the rhetoric over the weekend, one of the other things from Trump's rally was his continued use of the word illegals. And he talks about how these people are whatever. And I'm like, there are people coming into this country that are killing and raping. Jen Psaki was on MSNBC that we played the clip a couple days ago, where she jokes about how after Super Tuesday, there was the immigration was the number one issue for Virginia voters. And her and her fellow MSNBC panelists mocked it and said, oh my God, they border West Virginia. Ha 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 ha. And I'm like, we've had a rapist, a killing, and then they want to call them newcomers. And I just wonder, is it because they're trying to play to people's stupidity? Like, do they just think people are that dumb that they don't see these things happening and that they want to inject new language? But I believe the language works. There are, I mean, the U.S. code says that you are in this country illegally. Chad Wolf has pointed this out over and over again, the former Secretary of Homeland Security. And yet if you use the word illegals, then you are, you know, racist and xenophobic.
You got it right. No country survives with an open border. I mean, that's no. Let's put it this way. Perhaps Haiti, if it had an open border, could survive, because nobody wants to move there, unfortunately. But no country that people want to move to that does not have a border will survive. Your house would not survive if you opened the door. These are elementary propositions. But I think, forgive me, Sean, I just want to say...
No, go ahead, please.
They're not interested in America surviving. It's a very difficult thing to wrap one's head around.
I think you're putting your finger on something. And this goes back to something you said a minute ago about the traditions. We are watching the country. I mean, we don't get not only excited on the 4th of July, but there are now anti-4th of July activities. We don't want to secure the border. We want to, like, I used to wonder what the motives were. And then I think that I agree with you that people have decided that somehow it's better just to burn it all down.
How else does one explain the denial that sex/gender is binary, if not burning it all down? How else does one explain the crap that pervades museums of contemporary art, the garbage of atonal music? I know music. I conduct orchestras. It's my avocation. It's garbage. The people who can't build and want to make a name for themselves destroy. In a nutshell, that is the left in architecture, art, music, education, medicine. The American Medical Association announced a few years ago that the sex of a child should not be listed on its birth certificate. The people don't understand that, this is my motto, the left destroys everything it touches, and it is destroying medicine. People should watch the University of Minnesota Medical School, the incoming students, the oath they took for equity, diversity, and inclusion. It had nothing to do with medicine. It was overwhelmingly just left wing. Out there standing on the land, and they named the tribe that they were on the land that the university had stolen. There is no arena of life. Now they have dropped, at West Point?
The duty, honor duty country.
Honor duty country has now been dropped.
But why? So let me ask you this. You look at any video on PragerU and it's got millions of views, right? Right. Where are we losing? Like, how do we turn that tide? Because I'll walk down the street, and I get it. I have a lot of conservative friends, and people obviously know my background. They know your background. But when I talk to people outside of the bubble, or people come up to me, they go, I can't believe what's happening. How do we push back? How do we overtake this and stop this? Or is it too late?
It's not too late. America is in a civil war. I wrote this 25 years ago. We all hope it doesn't become violent, but it is a civil war. My last column, and I've written them for 20 years. There are 1,000 of them on the internet. My last column was that the bridge, the gulf between the left and the right is unbridgeable. We see, we don't agree on anything. People who like to live in make-believe worlds, oh, what we need is unity. Yes, unity on the right values. But they think their values are right, and we think ours are right. We think they're destroying the country, and they think they're noble. Not only is July 4th not celebrated, 1619 is celebrated. 1776 is dead. 1619 is the new founding of America, thanks to the liars at the New York Times. The same people who denied that there was famine in Ukraine in 1932 gave us the 1619 Project. Truth is not a left-wing value. People should say this when they wake up and when they go to bed.
So what percentage... See, this is what I'm maybe this is what I'm really getting at. I think that when you, that the country is divided into blocks. So there are people on the far right, there are people on that far left. I believe the people on the far left, the people that believe exactly what you're saying, are a, let's call, I don't know, 15, 20% maybe. I don't think the average person who is a Kennedy Democrat, a Clinton Democrat, believes this stuff. They go, I have a daughter. I don't want her competing against guys. I have a daughter. I don't want her in the same bathroom as guys. I want them to have equal. I mean, blah, 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 blah. They're liberal. They're a Democrat, but they don't believe this. I believe that whatever percentage that is, 10, 15, 20% is driving the train. And I get your point. I don't think that they can be rationalized. But why is that 15, 20%, unless you think I'm wrong on the numbers, why is that such a dominant force in our society right now in getting everyone to wonder what their pronouns are?
Because the left votes its values, the right votes its values, and the liberal does not. If liberals voted their values, no Democrat would win in any race for office. The tragedy of America is that liberals vote left. They don't have the strength, and it's cowardice. It takes courage for a liberal to vote Republican.
So when you see these guys on Wall Street who traditionally might be a little bit more socially liberal, moderate, but have always been seen fiscally conservative, and I see them leading the charge, like somehow... I mean, I get a kick always when I watch the NFL play and there's this team that says end racism in the end zone, thinking somehow, oh, that's all it took. That to me is such a joke, but these are the people leading the way. And I think that they're just conformists. I believe that they believe.
Conformist is a euphemism for coward.
Yes, but that's exactly it.
Yes. Cowardice is the dominant feature of liberals. Evil is the dominant of the left.
So is there any overcoming it? I look, and like I said, is it just because they're so scared and cowardly?
Yes, they're scared. Yes, that's correct. But can, not so, scared of the right, they're scared of the left.
Right. I agree with that. But I guess the thing that I really am trying to get at is here, do we just say, okay, that's going to be it because these guys control these big institutions?
You have to try. If you have liberals as opposed to leftists, and by the way, I have a column, 32 questions to ask your liberal brother-in-law to figure out if he's liberal or a leftist. So 32 questions to distinguish between liberalism and leftism. Everybody should read that, and everybody should take the test, and everybody should give that test. And then show it to your friend, your brother-in-law, and say, you know, you're a liberal, not a leftist, but you vote leftist. Why? And I know the answer because I grew up a liberal. I know the answer. And I went to Columbia. And the answer is they have been brainwashed, I mean deeply brainwashed, to believe that anything right of center is a slippery slope to Hitler.
It's unbelievable. I mean, going back to your doctor, you mentioned your wife's surgery. I'm glad Sue's recovering. I just can't imagine now. I did in my second book, I think it was, I looked at journalism schools. And I had always thought to myself, these guys are going to, you know, that you go to journalism school to learn the who, what, where, why, and how to track down a story. And the mission statement of journalism school after journalism school after journalism school stated in there on their website was to make the world a better place. It's not to get to the story, to get the facts, to put information out there, right, to hold people accountable, to make the world a better place.
Correct. That's right. And that's what all of them, the purpose of being an actor is not to entertain people, to offer them an escape from their difficult life for 90 minutes or 2 hours. The sports writer is not there to bring you the best analysis of a football game. He also wants to make the world a better place. So one way to do it is to change the Redskins' name or to change the Cleveland Indians' name, even though America's Indians couldn't care less. The Washington Post printed their own survey that American Indians didn't give a damn about the name Redskins. Yeah. But they were in the forefront of screaming for it because sports writers don't believe their task is to write about sports, but to make a better America.
That's, I love that.
You hit it on the nose.
I love the fact that I joked about this a minute ago with you, but like after the State of the Union, I was joking with folks of the show that like every headline, we put them up on the screen, said fiery, Joe Biden delivers fiery speech, impassioned speech. And yet when the poll numbers came out, he was the first president to ever see a dip. It's like there was this massive disconnect between the liberals in the media in New York and DC and LA and the American people who said, this is horrible. We don't like this stuff. And I just, to me, that's the interesting thing about it is there really is, and that's why maybe I'm off on the numbers, but I do think it's 15 or so, 20% that's driving the train.
But it doesn't matter. As long as the liberal doesn't vote liberal values, the country is doomed.
All right. So just in all seriousness, to wrap this up, do you have hope? Do you have optimism that we actually can find our way back?
I have hope. I don't have optimism, but I don't have pessimism. I don't give any credence to either optimism or pessimism. Because neither fights. Optimists don't fight because they think things will turn out well. And pessimists don't fight because they think things will turn out lousy.
Okay.
I only care if you fight. And by the way, if you don't fight, at least help the fighters.
Help
PragerU or help any of the other great organizations. There are many great organizations in this country.
I agree. And I think PragerU is...
Let me just end with this. This country is the greatest creator of toxic ideas. Unfortunately, I'm very sad to say this about my beloved America, but it is also the place of the most robust anti-toxic organization and life. We have the worst and the best in battle in Western civilization. And how America goes, the West goes, and how the West goes, the world goes. So we're living, unfortunately, in very interesting times.
All right. Well, I would say one of the best is PragerU. So go there, folks. Check out the videos. You will learn, be inspired, and be ready to fight. So I appreciate it. Dennis Prager, thank you for being here and all you're doing to help fight the fight and help us win.
Same to you, Sean. Thank you.
Okay. All right. I want to thank Dennis for joining us. He always makes me smarter when I talk to him. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back here tomorrow. Please remember to subscribe. YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify. It's such a big deal for the success and growth of the show. Give us a 5-star review. Hit the notification buttons. We'll see you back here tomorrow.